Hello, everybody, and welcome. Tonight, we're on symbolism, dreams, and mediumship. Just for those of you who are wondering, it's 6:30 BC time, 7:30 Alberta time. So sometimes Facebook is not posting at the right time. So, but here we are, and let's get started. I invite you to go to my YouTube and subscribe. We need more subscribers so we are free to move around and not just be stuck on the desk and a laptop to do our videos. So even if you're not watching there, just pop in there and subscribe. We need our numbers to go to 1,000. So any help will be appreciated. Thank you. Now, symbolism, dreams, and mediumship. Now, this is something, this series that I'm doing right now is to answer the questions that people are asking me and wanted to know more about. So why is this important? Because you're a divine being having a human experience. And if you're disconnected from your soul, you can't communicate with it. And if you if you're not getting messages from your soul, that's when life gets pretty dull and meaningless, because it's you wake up, you go to work, you collect your paycheck, you pay your bills, the bank account's empty, you go back to sleep, you go back to work, right? It just becomes this routine and it's kind of meaningless. So there's no need for any of you to go through life alone. You just need to meet and connect to the other side. Now, what's the other side? The other side, or across the veil, as often I will refer to it, demonstrate that there is a separation, right? This separation is caused by our physical body. The humans, when they first appeared on Earth, their body weren't as dense as they are now. So the density of our body came through human experimentation. We were feeling certain things, but we wanted to feel more. And as we wanted to feel more and have a more intense stimulation from taste or touch or smells, we made our own body denser. This was possible because we're still able to co-create at that point and make changes. However, the denser the body got, the harder it was to stay connected to things less dense. The density comes from the third dimension. So we're talking about anything higher than the third dimension. It exists. There are many levels of them. And our density is preventing us from accessing these other dimensions. So it created sort of a fog or a veil that made it harder to stay in touch with that does not incarnate in a physical body, or like fairies and elementals in general, didn't make their body as dense as ours. So they're harder to see. And so the main part of ourself is really the soul and not the physical body. This is another detachment that we got. We think that this is all we are, but it's not. They didn't disappear. We just lost our ability to see them clearly. And we are more part of that side of that dimension than we really are here. Our soul is much bigger than our physical body. And it lives outside of our body because it lives outside of time and space. And so it only incarnates a spark of it inside of physical body. And that's who we truly are. So if you're asking the question, who am I? You are not your physical representation of yourself, but that's just a very small part of who you are, because who you are is this soul, this eternal being, this divine being. And just like, you know, there's x-rays and you can't see them, but we know they exist. Animals are able to smell things that we can't smell. And our eyes are denser in the same sense that they're limited to what they can actually see. So in that sense, we are disconnected from all these other senses that were available to us at first, but are no longer available to us practically. So we need to put a little bit of time and effort into it to be able to reconnect to that. So we haven't lost the connection completely. We simply lost our ability to smell as animals do. And we lost our ability to see things that exist, but are beyond our scope of our eyes' ability to see. And so this spark that animates your body is immortal. And the soul, as a plan, it started eons ago and decided to enter the evolution of planet Earth. Quite a commitment, by the way, because as you enter Earth, you're entering this dimension to learn while you're incarnated in a physical body. But it also means that you create karma and you create things that need correction later on. And your existence in a physical body is very short in the span of time compared to what the soul has available to it as it is immortal. And so therefore, the plan is that you will reincarnate and get new chances, right? The plan of the soul coincides with the creator's plan. Now, creator here is completely interchangeable with anything that you consider your higher source, your power. It could be the universe, it could be Gaia. The name is not important. What's important is that there is something bigger and greater than you, and it has a magnificent plan. And it asks for volunteers to come to Earth to be able to bring back what we learned from our living experience. And this disconnect is part of learning what it's like to live disconnected, and then go teach the souls. But in order to do that, we first must complete our entire cycle, and then we become a teacher. That would be the same title as an ascended masters. They've lived many lifetimes, they've learned, they clear their karma, and they're free of reincarnation, but they're still teachers. Their ability to teach the souls that are not incarnated, but also continue guiding us here in our incarnation. The dancer body at first was made for us to experience sensation more. It was very attractive to feel more, to be more excited, to be exhilarated. But it also was the trap that makes us lose our way. We get distracted in the third dimension with things like money, food, drugs, alcohol, sex. And you're going to say, well, I'm human, I need to feed myself. Very true. But do we need to have snacks? Do we need to have cakes? Do we need to, or in any case, are we supposed to have a smaller piece of it maybe rather than half the cake to ourselves, right? If you're wondering what are the traps around the body, well, there's what the Christians refer to as the seven deadly sins, right? So the extreme expression of emotion, wrath, being concerned with material things. So has anything to do with money or money related, anything you can buy. And also the distractions of our senses through drugs and alcohol. Now, how do I find my way, you ask? It's actually easy. Now, I know some of my students say when I say that, it's easy for you, not for us. But it is easy once you start learning to listen to what the soul says to you. Because you're not alone in all this. Your soul is your primary guide. But as a guide, how does it talk to you, right? How do we communicate with this soul of ours? Well, first of all, you need to be connected, but if there's a severe disconnect, it still will try and talk to you through dreams and messages and synchronicity of events. So we're going to explore that tonight. And if you're saying, oh, well, I can't do that, I'm not gifted. Yes, you can. Absolutely, everybody can. Just like everybody can read, everybody can count, as long as someone teaches you. And it's not because I can read English, French, and Spanish that I can read Russian. I cannot, right? But I cannot in the moment. If someone sits down and I'm willing to learn, I can learn how to read Greek and Russian and Korean. But you first need to pay attention to be able to communicate with the soul. You need to reduce all the distractions in your life. And then you need to learn to ask questions and listen for the answer. But if you're constantly distracted by the TV, by the phone, by the internet, by games, by alcohol, by drugs, you're not going to be able to hear the answers. It's amazing how we went from a society that was totally focused on surviving, right? Finding a place to live, finding something to eat, to a society that is completely detached from where does the food come from, and values distractions over human contact. Now, the major distractions, we'll take, for example, alcohol and drugs. For some people, they do mushroom or they do ayahuasca in a certain setting, like every week, which is this ridiculous. Those distractions distort your connection. They do not connect you to anything. They just distort your world and the way you feel. Or maybe you're unable to express your emotions. You say, well, when I drink, I can finally talk about my emotions. Okay, well, you need to start communicating without the assistance of crutches. You need to be able to be your true self. And for some of us, it requires years of work. So I'm not saying that it's necessarily going to happen tomorrow. But you need to be able to accept who you are, accept yourself for your gifts, but also for the things you still need to learn. And I don't believe in mistakes or errors. I think that those experiences help us grow and propel us to want to be better people or to not be victims again in some cases. And so I see those moments as pivotal points in your life. But it's up to you to decide, are you going to be a victim to those events or are you going to grow from the experience and become stronger? So psychedelic drugs also do not help you connect to across the veil. Some people think, oh, well, I see colors, I see this, I see that. Yes, well, you know, your perception of reality is being altered. But it's never helpful in retrieving valuable information from important sources. So, for example, the other major distractions that I see every day is the cell phone. Now, not so long ago, cell phones did not exist. And for young people, people that are 20 or under, they can't imagine a world without cell phone, right? But I was raised with a house with one TV, no VCR. That's kind of a, you know, CD player, but even more ancient. And there was one phone. It was attached to the wall in the kitchen. So when you had conversation, they were very brief because maybe someone else was trying to call and everybody was listening to your conversation. So there was no privacy anyway. Cell phones were kind of introduced in the mid-1990s and they were bulky and expensive. So it's not really until the early 2000s that most people had a cell phone. And those cell phones were tiny. They were maybe had a camera, they certainly didn't have video and texting abilities. But it was very, very expensive because you paid by character. So that's where our magnificent abbreviation come from. Because since you paid per character, laughing out loud of 70 characters became LOL, 3 characters, right? And so still, your phone mostly stayed in your pocket and you had time to look around. Make eye contact, see posters, see signs, see things in your environment, in your surrounding. And this was important because synchronicity. Now, synchronicity, for those of you who don't know, is a simultaneous occurrence of events which appear significantly related but have no discernible cause or connection. So you're asking a question, someone talks about it, you talk to this person and they refer you to a book which leads you to a workshop and on and on and on it goes. Now, in order for synchronicity to occur, well, we must first ask a question. And then the universe places the answers on our path. But if you're not looking around, if you're not looking people in the eye, if you're not having conversation with other people, if you're just on your phone, you're missing all of the signs that are trying to guide you. Look, it's right here. It's right in front of you. But you walk right past it because your attention is not on getting an answer. It's on distractions. So one of my favorite synchronicity would be you're talking about something or you're looking for an answer and all of a sudden a book falls off the shelf. And that's happened to many, many, many people. And they're like, oh yeah. And I pick up the book and I open it, it opens on the right page and it gives me exactly the question, the answer to the question I was asking. I'm like, well, there you go, right? And it also, synchronicity is your intuition. It's part of, that's your soul trying to guide you, right? We all have moments where our intuition calls in. However, after the cell became transformed into a mini computer, portable gaming center, and social media started. My gosh. I mean, I'm not being a hypocrite. I realize I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, I'm doing podcasts, I'm using social media. Yes, but not to distract you, to teach you, to instruct you, to try and guide you back to, okay, now you get time for yourself, you know, listen, then unplug, right? People have started to live completely immersed in a transparent world of social media, which, you know, it's not always as it seems. Before you had the TV distracting you, but at least if you left the house, you didn't have the TV with you. Now you have TV, movies, everything on your phone, your iPod, your tablet, whatever. You have it. You just got to open it up and poof, distraction starts. And you're plugged to the electronic, but completely unplugged from the third dimension. So not only did we, at a certain point in time, unplug from the spiritual world, we're now even disconnecting from the third dimension, which is dangerous. Because if we're no longer in touch with our reality, how are we going to make this experience a formative one, a valuable one, right? So it's always in your face. But, you know, there was a time where picking up the phone at first, when they weren't all these other things, it was rude to take the phone. Now I'm having dinner with someone and my phone's ringing. I can't stop it from ringing, but I can stop from answering. And they're like, are you going to get that? I said, no, I'm with you. So my attention is centered on you. I'm talking to you right now. So I'm not going to pick up the phone and talk to someone else. It seems like the person at the other end of the line is more important than the person that took the time to come and meet with you and sit right in front of you. We need to get back to some of the basic etiquette rules and respect and value the person's time that we're sharing. And maybe out of the great scheme of things, maybe that COVID helped us realize personal, immediate human contact is more important. Yes, we can always call back later. There was a time when your answering machine was at home and you didn't get the message until you got there at the end of the day. So you still got the message, but you didn't call back to people maybe that evening, maybe the next day, right? Now we're in the immediate satisfaction of everything, which is one of our major downfall, because spiritual work is not immediate. It's not going to happen right away. And so it's important to learn patience. I think that patience has gone out the window now. And so we need to learn patience. The other thing we need to be able to develop as well that really helps spiritual development is curiosity. If you're not asking the questions, you're never going to want to change. And so that's when events happen in someone's life. And they're like, well, I kind of hit a brick wall. So I had to stop and I had to put myself back in question. Well, fantastic. But why did you have to hit a brick wall in the first place? This curiosity is no longer present. I mean, there was a time when you're asking a question and finding the answer led you to new places, meeting new people, reading new books, doing new activities, and a lot of introspection. Now, we turn to the internet, get an answer, don't even bother to double check where the source got their information. And this lack of curiosity and research has a negative impact on our mental body. So you know that I talk about different bodies. So you have your physical body, you have your etheric body, you have an emotional body, you have a mental body. This mental body is fed with curiosity, creativity, knowledge. And so if you're stunting yourself in that research of looking for your own answers, then that interferes with your line of communication with the soul. Your soul wants you to ask questions because that's the only way that you can grow. And so if you're not asking the questions anymore, you're just satisfied with a plain post on Facebook or something on Instagram, you're reading it, but you haven't integrated what you're trying to learn. Knowledge is not enough. It's the application of knowledge that the soul is looking forward to. And so when I teach mediumship, the first important thing I tell the students is you need to unplug. And some of you are already, just by me saying that, I've been suffering from symptoms of withdrawals. Oh my gosh, what would I do? Well, if you can't unplug completely, because I understand, I run my business off my phone, so I need to reply to messages, I need to check Messenger and post and promote and do this and that. But there's a time where, for me, it's, you know, there's a certain time where the phone goes down and I leave messages for the next day. And so it's important that you set aside some time of each day, not like once a week, but every day. You need to set some time aside to be able to make some time for yourself, make some time for this, you know, practice of your introspection and asking yourself, you know, one of the practices that's easy to do is, and a lot of people do things at bedtime. And I think that by that time, if you've gone to bed, you're already tired. So maybe it should be something that you do an hour before bedtime, so you're still have energy and you can still focus. But one of the ways that you can do is be grateful. So if you're grateful, you're taking time and you're going, okay, you're examining your day. What has happened today that I can be grateful for? So that's one way to unplug. You're still doing something, but you're not attached to an electronic of any form. Some people have a healthy practice and they say, well, I do yoga. It's fantastic. But are you doing yoga, meaning you go in, you don't even warm up, you do your yoga position, and the minute the teacher says Shavasana, you either rush through it or you just skip it altogether. Yoga is actually 8 branches. I'm a yoga teacher, and there's 8 branches of yoga, and doing physical poses is just one of the branches of yoga. Yoga is a practice to help you connect to your soul, to hear that inner voice, that inner child, to be able to ask a question and get some time to hear the answer. The idea of doing yoga poses is to tire your body, stretch your body so your body can relax and stop demanding that you move, and so you can be quiet. And then when Shavasana, for those of you who don't practice yoga, is basically laying on your back, your eyes closed, and your palms facing up. During that Shavasana is usually when you can ask the question or your friend get the answer to your question. So we're following trends, we're doing things, and not that they're bad for us, yoga is good, but we're skipping the important parts. We're cutting, cutting things to say, okay, well, I've done yoga. And that's not it. Dig deeper. Actually, do some research, right? Part of these podcasts are not to give you all the answers, but at least get you curious, and making you read about it, making you research it, making you wanting more. So how do we reestablish communication? Because that's the whole idea of tonight's podcast. It might be harder, as some of you had bad experience through religion or dogma or whatever, but you do need to believe that there is something bigger, brighter, and more powerful than you. You can call it whatever you want, but that would be your first bit. And for some of you, it's your higher self, so your soul. And it's fine. Start there. And then you unplug and then you ask a question. You can ask the question in writing in your journal. You can ask the question out loud, or, you know, which is a form of prayer. Or you can simply have this thought in your head and say, help me and get me the answer to this question. And then go from there. But technically, that's the easy part. Because now you need to develop the patience and wait and listen and pay attention to your surrounding for the answer. And hence the synchronicity I explained earlier, right? So that small, still voice. The voice is so faint sometimes at first that it can be hard to hear, right? We're not hearing a clear message, which is really nice. So it might use external stimulation to strengthen its message. It may come from a song on the radio, right? So for me, it started when I was young and I would hear a ringing in my ear. Now, I'm of French descent, and my mother would say, well, it's someone talking about you. And depending if it was the left ear or the right ear that was ringing, well, someone was saying good things or bad things about you. And don't ask me which ear is what. I don't remember. Because later on, I came to realize that it was more like a phone ringing. Well, we're back to phones again. And saying, oh, okay, pay attention. The next few minutes will present you with the answer to your questions. And then a friend will call you about a workshop happening or a market that they want to take you to. And there you will meet someone that will answer your questions. Or it could be someone you recognize on the street. And you're like, oh, wow, I haven't seen you in so long. What are you up to? And they will tell you what they're doing, which lines up in answering your question. That person either has the answer, or they can help you find it, or will take you somewhere so you can find the answers. Who answers the questions? Because some people are extremely anxious. Some people will say, why is it the devil? If you believe in that, I don't. But to each his own. If you're asking out of fear or anxiety, ego will answer the question. Why does ego answer when you're afraid or when you're anxious? Because it's ego's job to protect you from getting hurt. And it's strongly supported by pride. So that's why asking your question after you calm down, you calm your body, your mind, and your emotion is better. And meditation and yoga come into play, right? So if you ask the question out of fear, you will get an answer that comes from ego. But if you quiet down first, then ask the question and reflect to see if you don't really have the answer, but don't never bother to listen, or it is something you don't want to see. So especially if your question is, why does this keep happening to me? Right? I have people saying, coming to me and say this question, and I'm like, it's time for you to sit and look back at each time this event happened and how it precipitated, right? What's causing this to happen? Because someone or something is causing it. And so it's important that you understand that part of the answer, you own it. It's inside of you. I guarantee it. But maybe perhaps because you're ashamed or because you're afraid, you're refusing to look at the answer that's standing right in front of you. That's the first person who can answer the question. Now, the next person who will answer the question is if you're not connected to your soul. And I know that for some of you, you know, you might be brand new to all this, and this might be a revelation. So you're like, wait, I have to connect to my soul. My soul can talk to me. Your guardian angel or your body elemental is the one answering and guiding you. And it's that weird feeling, you know, when you either you enter somewhere and you're like, oh, I don't feel good here. I'm going to go. Right. Well, this intuition feeling is your body elemental. It's your guardian angel letting you know, if you can't hear me, I'll make you feel yucky. So you'll want to leave. That's one of the ways that they're talking to us. Getting a feeling, getting a hunch. That's all part of the body's elemental way of talking to you. And so, for example, my brother, in his case, he hears a voice. And the voice was telling him not to put his hockey bag on the ground in the parking lot, the arena. It's after the game, and he didn't listen. And it's funny because, I mean, why would this voice tell you to do something that's not for your own good, right? But he doesn't listen and puts it on the ground just I'll show you, right? But then someone else came out of the arena, starts talking to him. They have a chat. I don't know. He gives him something. He gets in his car and he drives off. And then he gets home and he goes to get his hockey bag and he realizes, oh, it's still on the parking lot. So he had to drive all the way back to the arena, which is like 35 minutes away from his house. Lucky for him, all of it was still there. But the little voice was trying to say, you get distracted, you know, pay attention, do this now, finish this, and then go talk. What's the difference between you putting your bag down on the ground than putting it in the back of your truck? Really, not much. But sometimes this little voice is there to try to have us avoid us getting in trouble, or in this case, you know, delays, or, you know, maybe getting your bag stolen. I mean, hockey equipment's expensive, right? So they could be a hard lesson to learn if you don't start listening to that cute little voice. The other person who answers the question is your soul. Now, once you clear the distractions out of the way, and one of the distractions can be sugar too, right? By the way, sugar is a great caffeine. They're a great distractor because they affect your body. And because your body is being affected, it's not clear. It's out of sync. If you drink coffee every day, you don't realize this until you quit coffee, and then you have one coffee and you're like, whoa, my heart is racing, my hands are shaking. I didn't do this to me before. No, because your body eventually figures a way to adapt to it. But this distraction is still there. So you need to clear the distractions out of the way. One of the way that I started to do that I started going to silent retreat once a year. And living with three kids, it was very noisy. So having 1 week of perfect silence, and of course unplugging, I got to have lots of messages. And it's a practice that I still do to this day. I just don't go to retreats anymore. I just do it from my home, and I just tell people, okay, I'm in my silent retreat, and get back to you in a week. So this space that you're creating, this silence that you're creating, this helps your soul answer questions, saying, okay, so you wondered about this or that, and you wanted to know more about this question, like, why am I here, or what am I supposed to do with my life? If you're always busy, how is your soul going to inspire you to do something? Inspiration is divine. And so it's your soul saying, oh, well, you know, we have some time. Why don't we try this? Or why don't we go there? Right? So your soul is here to learn to make the right choices. So therefore, we will be presented with choices constantly. Now, you may think, well, you know, I had big choices when I was in college, choosing my major, whatever. But you choose every day. Am I going to get up and be on time for work? I'm going to sleep in, snooze, and then be late, and then be anxious for the rest of the day? These things that we do without thinking are the ones that are affecting us the most. We need to go into our subroutines and ask ourselves, okay, why do I do this? I hated going to work. And I didn't want to get up in the morning, but I did because, you know, I had to pay the bills. But there was a clear indication I just didn't like my place of work. I didn't like my job. I didn't like what I was doing. It was not fulfilling enough. There was something missing. And so when I came to the realization there's something missing, I started to look inside of me. What is missing? What is it that I should be doing if it's not that? And that's when the creativity started to pour in. That's when I started writing again. I started painting again. I was like, okay, this is satisfying. Because you're not just a physical individual. So you can't just look at your physical needs. When we do a retreat and people come here, we feed all your bodies. We feed your physical body and we give you rest. But at the same time, we also feed your mental body. We feed your spiritual body. We feed your emotional body. And so it's very interesting because people come and they don't snack all week. And they're like, why is it that when I'm here, I don't need to eat chips or I don't need to, you know, have chocolate. I'm not having any cravings. What's going on? Because sometimes, especially in the evening, you fed your body throughout the day, but you haven't fed your spiritual body. You haven't prayed or meditated yet. You haven't fed your, you know, a lot of us get very exhausted mentally because we work in offices. We're looking at computers all day. So we're tired. So I get that. However, it's more also about the fun part, right? So feeding your mental body is not just working all the time. It's about being creative, being curious, learning something new. So it could be simple things. Like some people are like, well, I don't have an artistic bone in my body. Fine. You fear creating something because you're judging yourself too harshly to create a perfect artwork the first time you try. So try something simple. there's these lovely new things now that's called crystal art, and it's already designed for you, and all you have to do is glue the little piece of crystal in the right dot. This, while you're doing this process, what happens is that you stop thinking about the laundry, about the bills, about what you have to do tomorrow, and you just in the instant go, I need A9, and this is A9, and you glue it there. This process clears the mind. And so if you're hungry, before going for the pantry and eating something, try to ask yourself, okay, so maybe I need to go get some fresh air and just take a 15 minutes walk. I'm not saying that you need to exercise for hours on end. I'm not saying that you need a gym membership. Some people are very frustrated because, like, well, everything costs money, so, and I don't have any money, so what am I supposed to do? Even a 15-minute walk will make the difference. You can simply start doing simple things. Look, there's so many videos on the internet. Look for creative activity for Christmas or for Halloween, and then you'll see all these different ideas for decoration. It doesn't matter if you're not a child anymore or if you don't have any children at home. While you're doing this process, you're clearing garbage from your mental body. The less garbage is in the way, the clearer the messages your soul can send you. So, the choices that your soul really needs to make, it's not if should I buy the blue shoes or the red shoes? No, that's your ego, by the way. If you have shoes on your feet, you don't need an extra pair of shoes. I can tell you that now. What you need to learn is love, respect, empathy, honesty, harmony, forgiveness, mercy, kindness, compassion. These are the things that your soul came here to learn, and these are the important choices in your day. So, am I going to ignore the person or am I going to hold the door for them? That 5 extra seconds, you have been kind and you've learned that the other person matters, right? I go around with my aunt who's in a wheelchair. She's 99 years old now. And sometimes we get to certain places and they're not wheelchair friendly. So I'm supposed to open a door, push her through. There's not enough room for me to turn around. And someone in the restaurant got up and came and held the door for me so we could get inside. I truly appreciated their time and effort in being kind because it gets overwhelming looking after someone in a wheelchair. And you have so many things to think about. Just that little bit of help made my whole evening and made the night at the restaurant much more pleasant because I didn't have to do this on my own. Someone noticed my struggle, even though if you can consider this to be a single simple struggle. Some people have bigger struggles, but that's just one example, right? We can help in little ways every day. Sometimes we choose to help and sometimes we choose to look the other way. So the soul will guide you. If you start listening to your soul, that why is this worth all the trouble to go through all this? Because then your soul can guide you with grace and ease, right? It can you can learn without having to have the big drama all the time. And so it's nice because things enter a different flow. If you imagine being on a river, well, you're not in the river, you're on the boat, and the boat is flowing in the right direction, so you don't even have to row. So it's really, really nice. You just need to maybe, paddle once in a while, but you're going in the right direction, and it's flowing and it's taking you, and it's so simple and easy. No matter how hard and complicated your life is now, you can make that change. And for those of you who don't believe me, you can go buy my biography on Amazon, and you can see how dark and harsh and horrible my life was until I started listening. The reason why I'm sharing these videos is not because I'm better than you. It's just that my life got better because I made important changes. And I want to share that with the rest of you so your life can be better and easier. And imagine if everybody had a better and easier life, how wonderful would it be to live in a community like that, right? The other person that answers your question is the soul group. Once you're connected to your soul and you do your inner work, and rediscover your purpose, because it's not just about learning these qualities, right? It's also about realizing that you as a person are absolutely unique, and you have come with a specific skill set, abilities, gifts that are just owned by you, and therefore you're very important. So anybody watching right now or listening, you're extremely important. You're not on this earth for no reason. You are here and you matter. But if you don't know that you're important, that you're unique, and that you're special, and that you're beautiful, and that you're talented and gifted in your own way, then we need to get that sorted out first. There's a concept that was introduced by James Redfield in the 10 Prophecy of the Celestine Prophecy Collection books. And he explained that a soul comes to Earth to grow, and it does so in a particular field. So if it could be medical field, right? So in medical field, I see some of you thinking doctors. Well, sure, but there's ophthalmologists, there's gynecologists, there's nurses, there's massage therapy, there's chiropractor. So the field of medical is huge. There's also the field of information. So information could be the news, could be journalists, but it could also be a publisher publishing the information, right? So there's the fields are very wide. There's about 7 of them groups altogether. There's a teaching group, there's wisdom older groups. These groups are there to assist you during your incarnation with their own previous experience through their own physical incarnation. And so they are there to provide you assistance in mastering your field and becoming an important person to the community. And your community could be as big or as large as it can be. In some cases, people like actors, they will affect a much larger community because they have a voice and they're everywhere and people interview them, so they're on TV and millions of people see what they have to say. And it's so fantastic when they take a cause to heart and they promote this cause to try and make life better for others. But you can be making your community better by volunteering in your community, by helping a friend or a family member, if that's your community. Our community size is not important. As if we made the world a better place by our presence, then we are fulfilling our goal as a soul. For example, I was wondering how I could reach more people to share what I know, because I figured I've studied for a long time. I've read many, many books. I've went on many classes and workshops and, oh my gosh, all over the world. And I've gathered all this knowledge, and I think it would be very, very sad if I died and it died. Well, it wouldn't necessarily die with me. It'd still be there. But another person would have to do the same journey I did. And maybe for some of you, that's what you need to do, is reproduce the journey. But for some of you, you can facilitate the learning by saying, well, I can't go to Australia to live with the indigenous people and learn from them. I have a family, I have kids, I have a job. I can't do that. Or I don't have enough money to travel all over the place. Well, then that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring all that to you, right? And I already owned the Wellness Center. I was already teaching classes, but it seemed like I should reach further outside of the boundaries of where I lived. And so that was my question that I posed to the other side, right? And I don't say soul, I want you to answer, or soul group. I don't care if it's universe directly that answers me, as long as I get an answer. So I just pose the question. So what should I do? And then I hear someone in my entourage starting mentioning podcasts to me and how they like it and it's fun and it's, you know, they can listen to it on their own time and they can download it to their phone. It's fantastic. And I said, well, I don't do podcasts. I don't have a lot of time to listen to them, so I don't know much about them. But then shortly after, and we're talking within like 3 weeks, right? This whole thing took place. So another person comes up to me and they're like, hey, so I'm just inquiring, do you do podcasts? Because that'd be so fantastic to be able to listen to some of your teachings. And I'm realizing, oh, okay. So that's podcast twice in like a week and a half. Okay, so my next question now, okay, I got the answer, right? And this is where I mean, you have to talk to people, you have to listen, you have to pay attention to what's being said to you and not brush everything off all the time. And so I'm like, okay, well, you guys want me to do podcasts, that's fine, but I have no idea how this works. And hold and behold, within a matter of a week, I meet another person, and this person says, oh, podcasts are so amazing. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how they work. And she's like, oh, it's super easy. And right then and there, she explained to me everything, downloads the app on my phone. She's like, you push that button, and there you go. You've got your podcast going, and then you just got to tell people about it, and they'll come and listen to it. And I was like, okay, so now I have no more excuse. I know how podcasts work, so I guess I need to start doing podcasts, right? And that's how it all started. And I said, okay, well, I'm talking to this soul group. I'm talking to my soul. I'm talking to the universe. I'm like, okay, you guys want me to do podcasts? I'll do six. And if that works, if people like it, if people come and listen and, you know, I get a response, then I'll keep doing them. Well, we record them live, by the way. So if you're in the Drumheller area, or I'll be in Vancouver as well, if you want to join us and be part of the, that's why I sometimes look, because there's people to look at. So you can come and you can ask your questions live, and you can also ask your question there on Facebook or on YouTube. I always answer the questions after the fact, so don't hesitate to ever leave a comment. That's always welcome. We had people showing up every time. We had groups coming, and then I get comments from all over the world afterwards, after the fact, and I'm like, okay, so this is working. This is reaching people. It's informative, and it's helpful, so I'm going to keep doing it. I do series because that's what works with my schedule and things like that, but I do 6 to 8 every year. To find topics, or when I get questions that are repetitive and people are like, I really want to know about this, then I'm like, okay, then I should do a podcast on that. And we organize them, research them, put them together, and present them to you every fall. All right. So the answers come in very various form. For my brother, it's a voice that speaks to him. My sister, she gets images. For me, it could be a voice, it could be a vision, it could be a sensation, it could be from a song in the radio. I get the buzzing in my ear, then the song plays, I'm listening to the word on the song, and poof, there's my answer. People that I talk to, that I meet, complete strangers. And I don't know if this happens to you, especially if you live in a big city, it's probably harder because people are more anonymous in a big city. But I live in a small town, smaller town. But no matter if I'm somewhere else in the world, people tend to say to me, don't I know you from somewhere? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe you've seen my book, maybe you've seen me on YouTube. And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe you're looking for some answers, or you have a questions. Or if you ever meet someone that looks like you know them, but it's not them, or you think you've met them somewhere before, but you can't pinpoint it, have a talk. So I'm obviously very friendly and very open. So I talk to people all the time. And the information that I get from them is always valuable, right on point, exactly what I was looking for. Now, can I really get messages, right? Yes, you can. But some people complain because they can't see. They want to see. It's so important for them to see. And others are at the other end of the spectrum. They're terrified because they see shadows in their peripheral vision, right? Well, first off, stop watching horror movies. And then start trusting yourself. Your soul, your guardian angel, and your soul group, they never want to scare you. They always want to help. And they can only help if you ask, right? So you can ask for help, ask for answers, ask for guidance. But why is this so important? Why can't they not go around that? It's because of free will. Your free will is something that no one can take away from you. That's the only thing they can't take away from you. So they can't go against it. But once you ask, then that opens the door for them. And I promise you, the last thing they want to do is scare you. If your vision is blurred or you see shadows, it's not because it's horrible things. It's because the veil is so thick. You need to clear your own body. You need to clear your mind, and you need to clear your heart. And then the images will clear up with them as well. So is seeing all that important? Yes and no. Because it's not always fairy rainbows and unicorns, right? You get a vision and you have no idea what it means. We were in Peru, my sister and I, and she she gets a vision, she draws it, and she shows me. She's like, I just got this vision. I don't know what this means. And I'm like, oh, we're going there tomorrow. That's the man on the mountain. And I will show it to you tomorrow. So it's obviously important when we get there, do this, 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 and that. But on her own, she had a hard time understanding the meaning of the vision she got. And a clear message sometimes is better than an image, right? Don't leave your hockey bag on the ground. So it's particularly easy and very useful. So, right. So the visions, and this is what tonight's about, right? Symbolism and dream. They're always related to what's happening to you right now. And you could buy books on dream interpretation, but I did the test. I bought four different ones and I looked at the word cat and all four of them were saying something different. I looked at the word horse. I mean, I'm not talking a weird salamander dream, right? Or something that nobody dreams about. I'm talking about things that you could see, like spiders. Well, if you're a Native American, spider mean one thing, which are very positive. But if spiders creep you out, you're going to have a hard time believing that your dream full of spiders meant something good, right? So if I ask 100 person to tell me what my dream means, I will at least get 75 different explanations because there's different images in the dream. There's different components. And some people will go, everybody doing tarot will say water is emotions. And so if I talk about the water in my dream, they'll say there's emotions. But that's why 75 is not a complete 100 different. But the meaning of the dream or the vision must actually be interpreted by you. Because it's based on the circumstances of your life at the moment, right? So interpreting a dream 3 years later is kind of meaningless. Unless you interpret the dream about that time and then you find the message. So if you have a dream that is still vivid in your imagination and you still remember and recollect everything that happened, then you can say, okay, so based on this, what if I try analyzing this dream? Sure, but look at your circumstances at the time, because if your circumstances have changed, then the meaning might not be effectual, right? And recollecting the image is not enough. You also need to recollect all your emotions that you were having while you were having the vision or the dream. And I say vision or dream because I get a lot more visions from meditating than I do while I'm dreaming. Because I'm busy at night as well. So the one dream that I remember very clearly, I was in Vancouver walking. And there's the big tall buildings, big city, but Vancouver is by the ocean, right? And then all of a sudden I see people running and I'm looking around going, what's going on? And then I look behind me and coming from the ocean was this humongous tidal wave heading towards me. And I'm a very analytical person, a very scientific person. And I'm looking at this going, it's a huge tidal wave. It's coming super fast. I'll run just for my survival instinct, but I don't think I can escape this. But hold and behold, as I start running, there's this humongous T-Rex that comes out. And I wasn't living in Drumheller at the time, right? I was living in another area of Canada in British Columbia. And so this big T-Rex comes. I'm like, oh, wow. Now I have to outrun the tidal wave and the dinosaur. And maybe I can try and put some distance between me and the tidal wave, but me and the dinosaur, there's no way. And so the dinosaur grabs me. So I'm about as big as this in his hand, right? And I'm thinking, okay, what now? Because all the movies show you dinosaur eating people, right? So that's the... And I'm very conscious of my dream. And I'm like, no, I don't think that this dinosaur is going to eat me. And this dinosaur is not, but he keeps running. But because he's huge, he can actually outrun the tidal wave. I'm like, oh, wait, he's actually helping me, right? And then he runs. And if you guys know the geography of Vancouver, then you have Vancouver. And then eventually, after the valley, there's a huge set of mountains. And the T-Rex puts me on the very top of the mountain. and deposits me there and then walks away. And the water never, I'm never submerged by the water. The water barely, you know, other than scare me at first, didn't really do anything. So I wake up from this dream and I thought it was so strange. I asked a few friends, you know, what do you think? What do you think? And everybody is giving me like these wild interpretation, and it doesn't feel right, right? It doesn't resonate with me. And I'm like, no, I said, I'm going to do this differently. And so I looked, because symbolism is affected by your personality, your personal history, your culture, your belief system. Like a black cat to a friend will be cuddles, love, and affection. And to another, it's bad luck and witchcraft, right? So your belief system affects the symbolism in your dream. And so where a person will say, oh, well, this is what it means, it doesn't resonate with you because that's not what that imagery means to you. So like a dream of a pig in Korea means a great event or a pregnancy. And to me, it means that it's dirty, smells, an unwanted visitor, and maybe I need to start cleaning because someone's coming. I don't know, right? So when I tried interpreting this dream, I knew that the dream was a message being sent to me about what's going on in my life right now. So what was going on at the time is I was getting a divorce. It was, you know, it could have gone either way. It could have been really bad. It could have been simple. But I am in the process of this divorce and the child custody and everything else. And it's very overwhelming. And I got my answers when I started, first of all, I wrote the dream in a journal at the time, and I started looking at each single part. So yes, water means emotion. Okay, so there's a huge tidal of emotion that's threatening to totally wipe me out and kill me in the process. And this dinosaur come. Now, dinosaurs, as I said, I'm a scientific mind person, and I did study a little of archaeology. And I was like, okay, well, to me, dinosaurs is something very old that existed, that was on this earth and is dead. But you know they're real because we found the bones, but they're not like in the movies. You know, I don't know what they did back then, if they even bothered for humans. We probably just were a small snack for them, right? So this dinosaur then, to me, represents something old that was on the planet that's now buried. And to me, that's ancestors. So I was like, okay, so hang on. My ancestors picked me from the ground. So that means my belief system, everything that I was taught is what's going to carry me away from this tidal wave into a safe place. And again, atop of the mountain for me means that you're close to Mother, Father, God, you're close to, you're safe. For me, being on top of the mountain, you're safe, because at the top, it's the safest place to be. I think mountains are majestuous, and it's close to nature. I love being in nature. Every time I'm in nature, I'm happy. So I interpret the dream that my foundation, my belief system, and my ancestors will assist me. And with all that, I'm going to be carried to safety without damage, and I'll be happy and I'll be fine. I'll get out of this, you know, even though if it's terrifying in a moment, I'll be fine. So the meaning of this interpretation is a great message, because it was a great time of turmoil for me, right? So every time there's an important moment in your life and you have a dream, it's there to guide you. It's there to inform you this is what's going on. So if I have time, I'll share more dreams with you guys. And if you have questions, don't forget, you can ask. You guys are pretty quiet today. So first of all, I have a dream journal on my nightstand with multiple pens, because I ran out of ink once and I had to get out and go get another pen, and I was cold and I was angry because I wanted to go back to sleep. So I keep everything by my bed now. And when I woke up from a dream, and this is something you can do, right? You're in control of the dream and you can wake yourself up anytime. I start writing down the last thing I remember. I don't try and ask myself, how did this start? Because then I'll forget the whole thing. This is based on me and my personal experience. If you have a better way of doing it, bravo, I'm happy for you. But this is something that seemed to have worked well for me, is I start from the last thing and I work my way back. Right? And then I put as much detail as I can recall, but it seems with that technique, it makes sense to find, oh yeah, I went there because this had happened before, and I can make my way back to quite far in the dream. And so I write everything down. And then in the morning, I rewrite the story from how it started and make my way through. And this time I talk about, I put in the colors. Colors are very meaningful for me. If there's flowers, insects, animals, everything that is part of the dream is written in there, as well as my emotions. Because the emotions are a key to interpretation as well, right? Like I say, for someone, that black cat shows up in their dreams and they're happy and meets cuddles and love and appreciation. And another person, it spells fears for them. So you need to be detailed in that. And then some of you are probably asking, why not just show me the way? Because in order for your soul to talk to you, it needs to be let in. And since we are very distracted while we're awake, the one time we don't get distracted is when we're asleep and our consciousness takes a break and your subconscious is able to finally get in there and deliver the message. The subconscious speaks with archetypes, images, and your emotions. And so that's why your soul has to use the tool that's available for her to do the job, right? So this is how, by the way, we communicated back in Lemuria and early Atlantis. So it's not so foreign that it's completely impossible. You just gotta, like learning a new language. If you're not familiar at first, you don't have enough vocabulary, it's hard, and you know. But the more you analyze your dream, the more you'll find the way your mind works and your soul sending you messages, and it becomes easier to interpret the dreams. It's just the first few that might be difficult. And then sometimes they're so obvious, you're like, okay, well, you know, I get this, right? And if you clear your mind during the day, if you allow to disconnect from things and allow yourself a moment of silence, then you can get messages even when you're awake. And I find those much more clear because your consciousness is active as opposed to just having the tool, the subconsciousness, to talk to you. It's got more tools to communicate with you. So I still get messages through my dreams, but for me, they often relate directly to a past life. Apparently, I speak German when I sleep. and in real life, I speak very little German, although I do speak some. In my dreams, I have fluent conversation, apparently. So because I have a sleep journal and only my dreams are in there, I was able to trace back all the dreams related to something about Germany. And I realized that piecing all these pieces together is a past life I had in Hamburg, Germany, where I died asphyxiated before the end of the war. So and you're going to say, what does that have to do with this now? Well, it does have something to do now, because when you reincarnate very quickly, I died in sometime between 1944 and 1945. In 1972, I was born again. So it's very little time to get kicked back in another life. So often you haven't finished organizing your thoughts and what you learned from this life, and you carry it into this one. So your baggage is really heavy to start with, because you're already carrying another lifetime with you. So being able to understand that this past life is being affecting me, I'm able to clear whatever needed to be cleared and work with it, right? And so I've been meditating regularly for close to 37 years now, and I did it before it was popular. So I'm well practiced, but sometimes meditating, clearing the mind and just being Zen is not what's going to happen. I will get clear visions of what needs to be done. Very clearly, like we have renovated this new place here. We moved our center to be able to host retreats and have people stay with us. And as we started the renovation, the plan wasn't clear in my head. So while I'm supposed to be meditating, this whole plan came together. It came with pictures and images and how the plan worked and how everything was going to line up. And it took two meditations like this, but after those two meditations, I have the answers to my question. How long do I meditate per day? I wake up in the morning and I can meditate 1 to 2 hours. That's because I can afford it, because I'm retired from a day job. So now I just work for myself. So I start work at 10 in the morning. And so I have a leeway in the morning to meditate. If need be, especially when I do the silent week of meditation, it's 8 hours a day. So I meditate from the time I wake up till, but that's 1 week a year. When we do the spiritual cleanse every spring, we start on Ash Wednesday and end up Easter Sunday. It's a Toltec practice. It just happens to coincide with this period of the Catholic Church as well. It's a time of reunion, so the energy is there, and we meditate 1 hour in the morning minimum and 1 hour at night. So this time of silence I'm talking about, creating the space, because I also write books now, and I create workshops and things like that. I need to receive inspiration. It can't be ego writing. It has to be inspirational. So I need to create this space where I just listen and see what comes in, and let myself be guided by that. So if this is of any interest to you at all, and we'll have time to do another vision. So the other vision I had when I was doing this 8 hours long a day, and you know, someone else answers my phone, or the phone goes unanswered for several hours, and then we'll text people and say we're away on a week-long retreat, even though we're at home, because we do it from here. We make this space for ourselves. So I'm having this meditation, and then this vision starts. And I'm in an apartment with my sister and her daughter, which is my age, and we're playing games, we're having fun. And then she's like, don't you need to get going? You have an appointment. I was like, oh, and it startled me because I have an appointment. So, and I know this, there's something very important. So I need to get going. I'm a little pissed off at her because I'm like, come on, couldn't you have reminded me sooner? Now I'm in a big rush. I don't know if I have time to get there on time. So I run downstairs and she's like, make sure you drive safe. You know, you'll be fine. You'll get there. They'll wait for you if, you know, it's important enough. And I'm like, okay, sure. I get in my car. Don't listen to her. I try picking up my phone before I could take off to call the person and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to be late. My phone's dead. I'm like, well, obviously, right? So mad, throw the phone down on the floor and start driving. But then I realize, I guess I'm a little unfamiliar with the area, and they changed the way things are. And so I can't turn. I want to turn, but I can't. And so I'm stuck having to go straight, and I pass a light and I go straight. And I'm driving, but I'm kind of speeding. And so I want to turn, but now they've put a roundabout there. So I go around the roundabout, and before I know it, I've passed it, and there's no way for me to turn. And so I keep going. And this time I'm like, okay, now I need to slow down because I know this road ends up in the river. So if I don't want to end up in the river, I have to be able to, make a U-turn here. And so I'm trying to make a U-turn, but it's a roundabout. But this time I just keep going around, and I turn around and I head back and I get to the light and I realize I cannot go where I want. I need to make another detour because there's cement barriers there. So there's no way for me to get across. I can't cheat. I can't do nothing. And so I turn in that direction. And all of this is happening in an area where I grew up. So I'm very familiar with the area. And I'm like, it's okay, make another plan. I'll go through this light, I'll turn, and I'll be able to turn around, and I'll get myself back there. Meanwhile, all these detours, all this driving around, the time is going by, right? The day is moving along. So as I'm turning, I see a bunch of people going in kind of an alley of some kind. It's not really a street, but I'm like, oh, alley's going where I'm going to go. This is great. I'm just going to turn into the alley, and I'm going to be right there. As I turn into the alley, it turns out it's not an alley. It's a very long driveway, and all the cars in front of me stop, and everybody gets out of the cars, and I'm stuck behind. And I'm very frustrated, so I'm trying to force this. So I inflate my car into this big humongous monster truck, and they start driving over a car. And then there's an old man that comes out, and he looks at me, and he shakes his head like, "What are you doing?" And I'm realizing, okay, this is ridiculous. All right, I'm destroying other people's property. I shouldn't be doing this, but I really need to get there. So I figure I should get out of the car, ask this man if by any chance I can, you know, make my way there. And so he's like, "Oh, well, please come and meet my wife." And I'm thinking, "Oh, okay, all right." So I meet his wife, which is odd because I don't know this person. I have no idea why this person is important. But I see all the people that are driving the vehicles turn into children and run outside to play. And I'm like, what is this? Now they can't move the vehicle. How am I going to get to where I'm going? And he shows me, he says, "Well, we can move the cars out of the way and let you drive through, and you can drive through, and it's like a junkyard. So there's garbage teetering, and it looks very precarious. It's a dirt road with potholes." And, but he says, "You see, and if you go through all that, you'll be able to get out the back door, and you'll end up there." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? Okay, if there's no other way, I guess, you know, I'll go this way." And I turn around, but I see all these kids, and I'm all of a sudden completely distracted by all this. And I'm taking care of the kids because there's kids everywhere, and there's no one watching them, and it's dangerous, and they're playing around the cars, and one of them's putting stuff in their mouth they shouldn't be doing. So now I'm sitting with one on my lap, and I'm trying to take care of these kids that, you know, I don't know where they came from. And so the old man shows up again. He says, "Don't you have somewhere to be?" And then again, I'm going, "Oh, right. I really gotta go." And he says, "Don't worry. We'll take care of the kids. The kids are fine." So I said, "Well, thanks, but no thanks. I'll just back up and I'll go this way and I'll get there." And so I back out of this driveway, get on the road, and finally turn to end up practically in the same spot I was before. So my appointment was in the parking lot, and there was plenty of time for me to meet this appointment because I didn't have to go anywhere or do anything. I just had to wait. But now it's very late in the day and the sun is almost setting down. And we're talking, it was like 10 in the morning when I left. So I'm like, okay, well, I forgot to plug my phone to charge it because I was mad and I threw it. So now I have no way of communicating with this person because my phone is still not charged. But it was a very important meeting. And who knows, maybe perhaps day two got delayed. So I'll just wait here and try to see if they show up. Well, hold and behold, about... I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes later, the sun is set, it's dark, but some figure comes walking into the parking lot and comes to me and he's like, "Oh, I'm so grateful you're still here and you waited for me. I'm so sorry, you wouldn't believe the detours I had to take to get here." So after I have this entire vision, I'm like, okay, but what does it mean? Very clear vision. I still remember it to this day. That was 3 years ago. This happened during COVID. And I was like, what does this all mean? Like, I'm a bit of a loss, right? And then something magical can happen is that you will eventually, if you honor them and you communicate with them, you will be able to see or hear your guardian angel and your soul group and your soul and your inner child, and it's like a wonderful group meeting, and they're all looking at you going, "Well, so what happens?" is the explanation I got from them. So this is not even my interpretation. This is what I mean, the difference between a dream, what you have to figure out by yourself, and when you're consciously aware of what's going on and you can ask questions in the moment of this happening, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to need help with interpretation because I'm lost. And so they said, when you left in a hurry. In my life, I left in a hurry when I lived in Quebec, and I moved to the prairies where I became an RCMP officer. And they said, then you got into that trajectory and then you went through the light, and your light was your marriage, because going through a light, you're engaging, right? So if you're going through, you're making a commitment. And that was the commitment I made. I made this marriage. But I didn't really think about it. I didn't really spend a whole lot of time. And I truly did not. But I got into that situation. And then they said, you're going full speed ahead. instead of slowing down, and then you got pregnant. And that was the first speed bump or roundabout, and that's the pregnancy. It was like, oh, okay. And then they're like, so then you continued and you had to go all the way around the roundabout. So you got pregnant and then you realized, no, this isn't working. I'm stopping this here. I'm reversing. So what do you do when you reverse a marriage? You divorce, right? And so going through the light is the divorce. But I was hoping to go in a certain direction, which was returning home, going back to Quebec. And that didn't work. I had to stay in BC. And so that's the cement bar that's there that I have to follow. And there's no detours around it. When I finally turn around and I try to force my way through, that's when things keep blocking me. And there was a moment in my life that was very dark, is when the kids decided to go live with their dad. That was, it's a long, long story, but that happened and that broke my heart. And but they gave me the message that it's okay because they still have a big foundation with you. They live with you for 12 years. And so, you know, they'll be fine. And the soul group will take care of them and their guardian angel will take care of them. And they're fine. But you need to go somewhere. You need to do something. And so that's when I get back in the road and I went back to this parking lot. And it was very interesting because the person that came was a gentleman. And my question was, am I ever going to meet someone, or am I supposed to be single for the rest of my life and just do this work? So interestingly enough, they said, you know, everybody has their own experience. And you have, if you want them to wait for you, you have to be able to wait for them too. And if you get through your struggles and you arrive there early, well, then you just got to be patient and wait for them to get through their struggles and get to you. Because you want to attract someone whose past is behind them and they've sorted their stuff out and they are able to, I have a question. So their answer was there. And I'm like, okay, so isn't there something better I should do than just sit there waiting, but remain available for this person to show up? And then the vision continued. Because I allow for the space for this to happen. The information download keeps continuing. So it became very clear that, yeah, you keep doing what you're doing. You fulfill the dream, you fulfill the vision that we gave you, which is what we're doing now. So the explanation totally relates to my life. So sometimes it's for an incident in the close and in the here and now. But sometimes it's also a broader vision of things. So you simply have to ask yourself those questions when you're interpreting those dreams, those visions, and the symbolism. But please be aware of your surrounding. Look around you. Ask yourself some important questions and allow for the answer to come to you. And don't brush it off, say, oh no, that's impossible, or it can't be that. Why not? If you receive that answer, why not try it? Like me for podcasts, I was a complete stranger to the whole thing, and here I am now making an effort to be able to share what I have to share on a bigger platform, right? If any of this interests you and you are curious about wanting to know more or learning more skills or more techniques, I do teach mediumship every October, every year. It's only once a year. And it's a two-day class and it's in person only because there's a lot of practice and I'm there to help you make that connection and to get a greater understanding of who you are and how you're getting help through your difficult times on your life journey. So you can join us for those. I teach them in English and French, depending on where I am. But this year it's in English in Drumheller, Alberta. Also, next week, you can join us again in person if you're local, or this way with YouTube and Facebook and or on podcasts. I will then go into talking specifically about animals and their meanings in our dreams and visions in everyday life and their role as spirit teacher, totem animals, and what's the difference, and, you know, how many do you have? How does it all work? So I'll be answering all that for you next week. So now I'll take 1 minute. So is there any other questions? Is there something else that you're curious about? Hey, Ishika, hi, it's nice to see you. If you have questions, now's a good time. I had a question throughout the podcast, so I try answering them as they show up. But if there's anything else that you're curious about, no? Alrighty then. Well, it was a pleasure seeing you guys today again. It's always fantastic to be able to share and have people interacting. If you want to support us, all we ask is that you subscribe to our page on Facebook and hop over and go to YouTube and subscribe there as well. We need bigger numbers because, yeah, we need to reach out. So tell your friends, tell your family about it, encourage them on listening. And if you're new to our channel or new to these, you know, all the old ones are still there. They're still up and they answer a lot of questions. We never do the same topic twice. So we always try to, that's why we only do 8 a year. We try to be well-researched, and at the same time, we also want to bring new information forward. And so it's hard to do, you know, on a weekly basis. But make sure you leave a comment if you have any questions and you're watching after the fact. I always love and enjoy being able to answer your comments after we're done. So I will let you go. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. Today is the 20th.